Welcome to week two. This is the first of three videos that you're going to have for week two. And I wanted to introduce decisions. Decisions affect us all every day. Most people in my experience are terrible at decision making. And it's we're going to talk about this. This is going to build confidence. And confidence is something that I want to bring into this course as much as possible. Confidence and influence. So the two areas that I really want to touch on. And we touched upon them last week where we talked about goals and priorities and motivation. Motivation was all about influence, but also about feeling confidence and that we can get things done. Same thing with goals. When you're focused on your priorities, you will be far more confident in moving in a certain direction because it's always in the back of your mind. You know where you're going, you know how to get there, or at least have an idea of which direction to move in. It helps with decisions, which is what I'm going to talk about here. So I was recently sharing dinner at a retreat center with a group of about five other people, and it was fascinating. I was just kind of watching everyone. A lady started the food, and this is a retreat center where everyone kind of shares dishes. It's kind of like a home cooked meal. And a lady who started the food said, "Which direction should I pass this dish?" And I was fascinated. She looked around the table. Everyone looked at others for an opinion about something that didn't even matter. Who cares which direction everything is passed, right? In the end. I mean, people have their patterns, but these are all strangers, so who cares? Now, I shut my mouth tight to watch what would happen. This is going to sound really mean, but it's fascinating for me to watch how people get flustered in different ways and then see how I can maybe help them out in certain ways. So I shut my mouth tight to watch. She ended up getting quite flustered, but didn't do anything until someone on one side of her finally said, start that way and it'll come back to me." So there was someone beside her who said, "Go the other direction, everything will come back to me." And then she was able to make the decision. She was only able to make a decision when somebody else gave an opinion. And I thought to myself, wow, what would it be like to live my life like this? Completely frozen by an inability to make a simple decision that doesn't even matter to others, or myself, really. Here's a question for you. What is it like for you when you have trouble making decisions? It completely stops you from any forward momentum because you pause so many times along the way. Now, what is it like for others? If they are people who want more in life and are actively seeking bettering themselves, they'll stay as far away from you as they can. Trust me, because it's not fun being with somebody who can't make decisions. Okay? And if you feel a little bit bad here, that's fine. We're going to work through this, okay? Here, I'll give you another story. Anyone know, and just think back to your understanding of history right now. Most people, I don't expect them to know the answer, but can you tell me what happened in 1896 in the Yukon? It was the Klondike Gold Rush, and it started with a gold find in a river. And there were a few people right at the beginning who made some money. Those who did best in the Klondike Gold Rush had failed in the past and took advantage of that learning for the current situation. They made a decision quickly and bought up the land across the river. That's the people who made the most money in the Klondike were not the miners. People who found gold typically didn't make a lot of money. Often they spent all of it on future excavations and future prospecting in different ways. And there were a few that made some money. But really, that the gold in the ground wasn't what was the most valuable thing. The most valuable thing was the hope of everyone going up there. There were I don't know how many people. It was like tens of thousands of people died even getting up there and crossing over some of the passes. People were bringing ridiculous things. People were bringing up like full-on sewing machines. They were trying to carry huge things on their back to try to bring as much of home as they could, and there was this litter all over the ground up the trail. Again, the people who won, people who had success, the people who made some money in the Klondike were not those typically who were the gold prospectors. It was the people who had failed in the past, and as soon as they heard about gold, they knew what to do. They knew where the money was. So what they did, they were focused on a certain goal. They were waiting for something like this to happen. As soon as it happened, they ran up there, bought land on the other side of the river. And guess what happened? This allowed them to sell land to those coming in the next couple of years for the crazy rush that took place. They read the signs and made a quick decision. Now, a man named Joseph Ledoux was the first to do so and sold his riverfront properties, so he owned about 160 acres, for $40,000 a pop. Okay? Riverfront properties. He parceled up into small parcels of land. And he sold them for $40,000 a pop. That's worth about $1 million today. Each $40,000 back in 1896 would be about $1 million today. So he made millions of dollars. Now again, many people died and almost all returned home without anything. These were those that made fast decisions late or waited on the initial decision. Almost everyone who died wasn't prepared, so decisions should not be made blind, simply made quickly according to a set plan. For example, next time there's a gold rush, I'm buying land on the other side of the river. That's the lesson from this story, okay? That people who were prepared, people were focused on their priorities and waiting for something to happen, ended up doing really well. Quick definitions as we get into this. So a true decision equals commitment. A decision, and this is, I don't know if anyone else uses this, I'm sure it's not completely original, but I did come up with it in my own head. My quote is, a decision is a promise that you make to yourself that you keep. I'm going to repeat that a number of times. A decision is a promise that you make to yourself that you keep. Very, very important. I'm going to say this one more time. A true decision, is a promise that you make to yourself that you keep. And maybe I'll talk about Latin a little bit. A true decision is when you commit yourself to a result and then cut off everything that could get in the way. So a true decision, the word decisions, the de comes from Latin and it actually means from, and cadere means to cut. So the original Latin meant when you go in one direction, you're cutting off all possibilities in other directions. You're cutting off other possibilities. If you want control in any area of your life, if you want certain specific results in business, the answer to all your problems is taking consistent action toward that goal. Most people take some action some of the time, and actions produce results, so they get some results. Here's a quick question for you. Do you take consistent action toward your goals? If not, why not? Now, the precursors are, for all decisions, you need goals and you need motivation to push every day. Now, again, the first couple sets of videos in week one help you with this, right? But if you want to take consistent action, you need to make a decision, a promise that you make to yourself that you keep. And maybe I'll share another story here. And this is basically it's a longer quote from Steve Jobs that I'm going to use in my own way, okay? So this isn't word for word. This is my version of his quote. But he was basically asked, what's the best thing to do as a CEO? What's the most difficult thing to be a CEO? What's the most difficult thing to be an owner? What is the kind of secret to success of being an owner? And this is what he said. He said, I say no to hundreds of great ideas every week. I consistently say no to many, many great ideas so that I can say yes to the best idea. I say no to many ideas so I can say yes to the best idea. And this is a human being that took a company that was really struggling. It was basically going into bankruptcy. It was having a very difficult time, and he took it and made it into a world leader. One of the biggest companies on the planet as far as revenue goes. And again, it was all about decision making. So how are we going to go through this? How are we going to get into this a little bit? Everything you have in your adult life is directly related to decisions you've made. And I'm going to back up a little bit here and talk about how we understand decisions. Sometimes we have this disconnect between decisions and results. Everything you have in your adult life is directly related to the decisions you've made. For example, if somebody's in prison, and I'm talking, this is a generalization, okay? If somebody's in prison, they didn't get to prison based on one decision. Often we ask people, and often we think about this ourselves, we kind of go, something, we're getting a result that we don't really like. And we think, oh, this is because of one decision I've made. Nothing really tends to happen from one decision. And yes, our life is shaped in moments of decision, but it takes many decisions to get somewhere, or to not get somewhere, or to have something rotten. So, for example, in this prison scene, for somebody to get to prison, it takes a lot of decisions in life, typically hundreds of decisions, maybe thousands of decisions, to get to prison. In the same way, a millionaire on their own private jet, it takes hundreds, maybe thousands of decisions to get there. It takes a lot of decisions. So I want you to separate yourself from an understanding that one decision is going to make or break you. One decision is not going to make or break you. One decision, some decisions can have a bigger impact than others, but it's always a bunch of little decisions that really make the difference. Again, it is in the moment of decision that your entire future is shaped. So which future are you working towards? And I realize probably very few people on these calls might be looking for either of these. They might be looking for something in between. They want to live a life of a bit of freedom. Most people aren't thinking about private jets flying all over the place, right? So I'm going to ask you right now, what is a decision that affected your life dramatically? Some people will say getting married when I ask my clients. Some people will say having kids. For me, some people might say like choosing certain directions, so like choosing a psychology master's degree. For me, maybe quitting my job and moving into personal development and executive coaching, maybe moving to China or moving to Sweden, maybe deciding to be having this goal of being a sage at 50 years old and or maybe going to France for a year with my kids and my wife. Those could all be decisions that people think are fairly big, right? Now again, it isn't always the decisions that take the longest to make or take the most effort that give you the greatest results. I'm going to repeat that. It isn't always the decisions you take the longest to make or take the most effort that give you the greatest results. Deciding to be a sage, to be somebody with wisdom that invests in others has probably impacted my life the most, yet it took the least energy and time to make. There are some decisions that affect my life in really small ways that I've agonized over in different ways, okay? So again, it usually takes many decisions to get to a certain place. Everything you have in your adult life is directly related to decisions you've made. So again, there's this idea that you get to one of these places based on luck or the lack thereof. I'm saying that there is no luck. I'm kind of trying to separate a lot of things from luck. There's a quote that I love, and you'll hear me say it many times throughout this course because I love it so much. Earl Nightingale said, "I don't believe in luck. Luck is when preparedness meets opportunity. Opportunity is there all the time." I invest in real estate, and I've got a partner in real estate who's fantastic at it. Has never lost money on any deal, and he's often says, "The deal of the lifetime is out there every day around us. The deal of a lifetime is out there on a weekly basis around us." Do we have the skill set to identify the opportunities and to work with the opportunities? That's the question. And in business, here's the question. Do you have the skills needed to recognize opportunity and then take advantage of opportunity? Because if you don't, you're not going to be making the best decisions. If you do, you will be making better decisions. All right. Areas affected by decisions. These decisions can be made quickly and have the ability to change your life faster than any other action step you can take. But again, it's not one decision that's going to make a huge impact. It's many decisions put together, which is why we need so much focus and in self-motivation. Decision making is a worthwhile skill to develop, and decisions affect the following areas. Even though we're focused on business here, they're going to affect your physical health, which guess what, affects your business. They're going to affect your mental health, which guess what, it affects your business. Absolutely affects business and finances, and it affects relationships, which guess what, you know what I'm going to say, it affects your business, right? It was fascinating that how I struggled so much with decisions early on. I remember when I was first married, my wife hated it when I didn't make decisions on simple things. Now, I really didn't care for the most part, but have learned to make decisions to help others along. This helps other people. When you make decisions, you become a leader. Whether you want to or not, you become a leader because people want to hang out with people who can make decisions. So I realized early on in my relationship with my wife that even though I didn't care which movie we watched or didn't care which place we went out for dinner or didn't care what we did, which game we played in the evening or whatever it was, most of those things were small, like or which tea we're going to drink. It didn't matter to me. So I was just like, yeah, go with whatever you want. Having said that, I've learned since then, making decisions, if I don't care, just pick something. If somebody asks, pick something. and we immediately become leaders. Really fascinating how that happens. Here's another thing. Decision making can't be avoided. Remember this. When you avoid making a decision, you've already made the decision to procrastinate and not work towards your goals. You are moving further away from your goals when you are avoiding making a decision, which is a decision. It is moving you further away. Really important point, okay? The world will forget, and this is kind of another quote that I've picked up from somewhere. I don't even remember where I picked it up from, but the world will forget every failure and remember your successes. Think about some of the people that I'm going to bring up here, okay? You will recognize these people as they come up. At least you should recognize most of them. And as you recognize them and think about them, do you remember their failures or their successes? Do you remember their failures or successes? Now, I included one person in here who's kind of got a bad rap, with Lennon. For the purposes of this argument, or for the purpose of this discussion, what I'm trying to point out is that all of these people had an impact on the world in some way, shape, or form. All of these people in the 20th century had a significant impact, except for the one that's a marble statue, okay? Aristotle and Socrates, those guys had an impact later on, but still had an impact on the 20th century, right? Every one of these people made decisions. Everyone was able to make decisions. Now again, these stories, if you look back into these people's lives, their stories are filled with failure. Their stories are filled with failure. But what do you remember about them? Remember, Lenin wasn't the guy that was typically killing everyone, even though people kind of go, well, Lenin started communism and that was a failure. I go, well, you know what? Lenin took a nation from a dictatorship into a new era. And while I don't love the way he did it, while I don't love, I'm not excited about where it put a people group for a very long period of time, really, his decisions led to success for his ideals. And in the same ways, whether you think, I don't know, I'm trying to pick people from here, whether you think Michael Jackson was a good guy or not, I don't know what you think about him, or Muhammad Ali, or whoever it was, whether you think these people were right or not, or Elvis Presley had a worthwhile life or not, the fact is that they made decisions that led to their goals, and they were successful in those things. All of these individuals were great successes in many ways. Not because you remember their failures, even though they had many of them, but because they did something to work towards their goals. And most of them had great value on our planet. So here's a question that I ask a lot of people often. Do you want it or are you committed? And some people, when I ask that, they're like, oh, wait a second, what's the difference? Here's what I believe the difference is. Decision is the difference between wanting something and being committed. Why do you want business? Why do you want to grow your business? Why do you want to grow your mindset and understand how to get unstuck? Why do you want to work towards these things? It's not just for money. Money is a tool. So what is it below money? What is the money for? Well, it's a tool to get you and your family certain things and help other people in your community. And what drives you there? Get into those motivation pieces. What motivates you? What's your why? Decision is the difference between wanting something and being committed. I often meet people who say, oh, I'd like if it happened, but I don't want to have to work at it and make changes to get it, basically, right? By what they're saying. I talk about this all the time, but I've got a family member. A few years ago, we went to Hawaii, and I was sitting with this family member on the porch on the lanai and asked this individual, like, you talk about being in Hawaii a lot and moving here. When are you going to do that? And the person turned to me. I'm trying not to give a lot of personal information here because I don't want to embarrass the person, because I care about them and respect them in many ways. But this person turned to me and said, oh, yeah, I just think about that all the time. And my heart dropped when they said this because they had talked about living in Hawaii a lot. And yet when I confronted them and said, when is it happening? They said, basically, I'd like if it happened, but I don't want to have to work at it and make changes to get it. That's basically what they said to me. Decisions are what gets past excuses. If you can't influence yourself, how can you expect to influence others? You need to set a different baseline standard, and this is a really, really important point, okay? the baseline standard that you need to set is completely different. It's going to be different for everyone else, but this really helps with decision making. For example, if your baseline standard in business is to simply make ends meet, well, then guess what? You will accept that more of the time. If your basic baseline standard is to have a business that earns, I don't know, $5 million a year, if that's the base that you will accept in life, well, guess what? You'll reach it. You're far more likely to reach it. And on that way, you won't settle for taking certain breaks when you don't need them. You won't settle for getting distracted in different ways because you now have a goal and you won't accept anything less. And same with other areas of life, right? For relationships. If you have a baseline standard of not getting into a relationship with somebody who beats you, well, guess what? You're far less likely to get into that relationship, right? If you have a baseline standard for how much you will weigh or how much physical activity you do or how you feel on a daily basis physically, well, guess what? If you won't accept less than a certain standard, then it will help you make the decisions every day to work towards certain things. I have an uncle who when he got married, made a commitment to his wife. He said, I will never be over a certain weight. I don't remember exactly what the weight was or anything. Well, guess what? He's now been married for, I'm guessing, 35 years as of this recording, and he has never been overweight, ever. And it's because he won't accept it. He's made himself accountable to others. He won't accept anything less. And many of us already do this all the time. Like, I won't be fired, or I won't get divorced, or I won't be late for work, or I won't be cheated on in a relationship, or I won't weigh more than whatever. We got to do this for our businesses. Once we are willing to accept something smaller, guess what? We receive something smaller. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't like how much money you're making, if you don't like the results you're getting in your business, change it. I've always told my kids, you have two choices. You can change it or you can not change it. But you never have the option to whine about it. Okay, so we've got responsibility versus whining. When you are taking responsibility, you make the decision, I will do this or not do this, and it's your decision. But don't whine about the results, okay? This is beautiful because a lot of people get stuck whining about results with the government or the economy or whatever else rather than taking action. Change it or don't change it, but stop whining. Take responsibility. And listen, then the next week we're going to get into responsibility and help out in some other ways. So take responsibility. You don't like your business the way it is? Make it better. Or change something. Work towards growing your business. Work towards changing the relationships you have. You don't like the relationships you have in your business? Listen, you've got to either let people go in a kind way, a respectful way, or you need to train people up, or you need to invest in communicating and getting back on track. If you don't like your energy levels at work, well, guess what? Change, exercise, eat differently, do something. Don't whine about your situation. That doesn't help you. People who are successful take action, and actions always come down to decisions. So what gets in the way of decisions? And again, I'm covering a lot of topics in this first video. We'll get more focused in the next one, okay? What gets in the way of decisions? One thing that gets in the way is worry. Worrying about how your life will change or what you need to do. So basically not knowing how to move forward. And this is a major reason, a massive reason people don't make decisions. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've gone through the goal exercises and your why exercises, you might not know exactly what you want to do or how to do it. You might be in that place, and that's okay to be in that place. You might be asking me, Mark, I need to know how. Okay, I've set my goals, but how do I do it? Here's what I'm going to say. It's not important to know how to do it. Sorry, I'm not going to say that. It is important how you're going to do it. It's not important for you to know exactly how to do it, to have the perfect blueprint to get everything that you want. It's only important in the beginning to know that you've made the decision no matter what. That you will not accept certain things in your life. That you won't settle for not doing well in business. That you won't settle for not communicating with your employees or your colleagues or whoever it is, right? That you won't settle for problems in the future with your business or having a business that is not sellable with no exit strategy. Don't accept that. In the beginning, it's not important how. Not as important how. As it's important to simply make the decision, okay? What is another thing that's in the way? confidence, self-confidence. This happens with so many people. Self-confidence is this really weird thing, and I'm going to just touch on it right now. I'm going to touch on self-confidence in many different ways. This is the way you can build your self-confidence in the next 9 weeks now. The best way you can build your self-confidence, for sure, is to do what I tell you to do. Take action. It's not about knowing yourself better primarily. It's about taking action. And as you build your confidence, so many people ask me about self-confidence, and this is what I tell them. Listen, confidence is very simple. When you get comfortable doing something, you believe you are proficient at doing something, that's what confidence is. And now you believe you can handle things if they go a little bit wrong. So for example, if somebody who's a dog trainer is faced with a problem with dogs, they're fairly confident. Why? Because they've worked with dogs. They've had a lot of problems with dogs, and they've solved them in the past, so they've developed a skill set. If somebody's a woodworker, they've got this skill set. They've run into a lot of problems with wood. They know how to operate and handle certain challenges. If people somebody's an expert in relationships, they've seen lots of problems in relationships, and they know how to handle them. So there's a confidence that no matter what happens, I can deal with it. Even if I haven't seen it before, it's something that I know how to deal with. Where we lack confidence is in ways where we're not comfortable. So for example, I don't know how to fly a plane. So I lack confidence. If somebody put me in a plane right now, I would really feel self-conscious. I would lack self-confidence. Why? Because I haven't flown it before. I don't know how to do it. Now, there is some confidence in me, however, in understanding that I can delegate and then I can ask for help. So because I've built confidence in other areas of my life, I might still be able to be fine in a plane and have more confidence maybe than the average person. Why? Because I'll ask questions. I'll read manuals. I'll try to figure it out as fast as I can. I'll troubleshoot. And I probably won't be super afraid in the moment if I'm up at however many thousand feet, because I'm not going to run into anything immediately, right? So because I've built confidence in other areas, now I can have confidence even in an area that I've never run into. Another example in business is, let's say I've got a call, a coaching call, or let's say I'll make it relevant to everyone. Let's say you've got a call with a potential client or a potential customer, and they're complaining about your product, or maybe they are asking questions that you've never been asked before. Well, listen, if you've built confidence by talking to hundreds of people about sales, now it's going to be easier to deal with this particular problem. Why? Because you've dealt with so many problems in the past. You've got proficiency. You have confidence in building those. So the easiest way to build confidence in any area is to simply start doing something. You need to fail to gain confidence. Guess how you learned to speak English? I'm assuming you know how to speak English if you're watching these. You failed lots. I've got kids who are almost 10 and they still fail at English all the time. They make mistakes all the time. And they've been working on this one language, a first language, for almost a decade. They still make mistakes. That's okay. Yeah, how did you learn to walk? You bashed your head on things. You fell down. You had problems, right? And guess what? As you learn through those failures, you gain confidence. Tying your shoes. At one time, all these were really difficult tasks where you lacked confidence. Now you have confidence. What's the only difference? You've done them lots. If you drive a car, can you remember what it felt like to drive a car the first time and what it feels like now? Now you just jump in and do things. Why? Again, something might happen on the road and you can navigate it. You've got a skill set to do that. Why? Because you've done it lots. Third thing that gets in the way of decision making is emotions. Emotions are attached to moving forward often that are not conducive to moving forward. So I'll give you an example. I talked about the brain. I talked about the emotional brain a little bit. When you have emotions attached to goals, and a lot of my clients do this or have this difficulty, they've attached frustration and shame to their goals because they failed at their goals before. So instead of moving towards their goals, whenever they think about their goals, guess what they do? They feel awful and they move away from their goals. They move away from taking action towards their goals. So one thing I'm going to really recommend is that you work on your emotional attachment to the things that you want to do. And we will talk about that. We're going to talk about beliefs coming up here as well, all right? So don't worry, we will get to that. I'll just touch on it right now. So basically, think about a river of life from the Great Divide to the Atlantic Ocean. And if you don't know what the Great Divide is, it's in the Rocky Mountains where water that goes east flows into the Hudson Bay or off the East Coast, and the water running west runs right off to the Pacific Ocean, okay? think about that for a second and think about how decisions are kind of like this. People are thrown in water at birth and start life by going with the flow for the most part, okay? Wherever the easiest way is to get down, people typically take it. Decisions are made for us, and we are taught to fall in line with what our parents think or what our teachers or spiritual leaders or government officials tell us to do, right? Now, we're also influenced by marketing and commercialism because they are masters at influencing our decisions. And typically, we don't learn how to make decisions for ourselves. We're taught to be directed by our environment and even blame our environment for what we have or don't have. If, for example, if the economy is bad, then it's hard to get a job because that's true for a percentage of the population. So it must be true for everyone, even though most of the population is still employed when they are completely incompetent. Think about this for a second, okay? We complain about a bad economy. In poor economies, do you know that most businesses still survive for a period of time? And some thrive? It's not a fact that an economy that's downtrending equals bad business. The best businesses actually increase their revenue over that time. If it's raining outside, then people think the weather is bad and we should stay inside because other people say it's bad out today. If it's Monday, it's bad and depressing because it's the start of the week, because that's what Garfield the cat taught us to think, right? If it's the weekend, it's good because we sleep for half the day and do nothing. What this line of thinking teaches us is that the ultimate success in life is doing nothing, because that is good, and working anything that might stop things from being easy is bad. Think about this. Think about how you make decisions and how you've been influenced. This is crazy because we actually learn not to take ownership or responsibility for our own results. Again, we go with the flow because that's what people do. Everyone else is doing it. It's as if we become numb to most things and are seduced to believe that the current, the flow of the water, is comfortable. And yet it's not. If you look at what the average people are getting out of life, even the average business owners, they're not getting what they want. They're not in their comfort zone. People talk about getting out of their comfort zone. It's your familiar zone. You're not comfortable. That's not why you're taking this course, because you're comfortable. You're uncomfortable. You want to grow and learn and change. And that's good. That's a good thing, okay? You simply are familiar with being in the flow of the stream. Often, we don't consciously make decisions for one fork in the river or the other. We tend to only go with the flow that we're in. So again, we come to a fork like this, and we simply go, oh, well, where's the flow taking me? Oh, I'll just go with that. What are most people doing? Oh, I'll go with that. That's a terrible way to make decisions. You're basing your decisions now not on what your goals are or your priorities are, and not even what other people's goals or priorities are, because they don't have goals and priorities. You're basing it on marketing and commercialism that has influenced the masses. Does this make sense? Here's the problem. We don't often see that things are going to be bad until we start to hear the strong rush of water that tells us a great waterfall is ahead, and that most of those who go over this fall suffer a lot of pain on the rocks below. The problem is that by the time we hear the strong sound of the waterfall, and think about this with your business, or think about this with your life, or the way you're making decisions, usually it's too late to change course. When you've made a bunch of terrible decisions based on what other people around you are doing, if everyone says social media is the key to business, and you simply take it rather than investigating it for yourself, guess what? Guess what? You're going to end up having a problem at some point and going like, wait a second, I've spent all this money, maybe money that I didn't even have, on this stuff, and where has it gotten me? And it's often too late to change course. You can't get that money back magically. You've lost out a lot, and sometimes it hurts. Sometimes people go through bankruptcies or other things. The action in that time must be that we must take is to mitigate our losses and prepare for the next time. The problem is that even here, most people don't learn. And this is why failure has such negative consequences or connotations for people, because they think that failure is simply bad, because their experience of failure is that they haven't learned anything. So here's the question. How do you turn things around and get to the place where you want to go in life? Because this is not where you want to be, right? At the bottom of Niagara Falls. That's not where you want to be, on the rocks. Well, it depends where you are. Okay, how do you turn things around? It depends where you are. If you're in the middle of a strong current almost ready to go over a fall, you put both oars into the water and row like a mad person to move into another water course or take a break on the bank. Okay? Here's the best thing to do always. The best thing to do always is to plan ahead. If everyone in life who is successful has a coach, then find a coach. Learn from other people. If everyone who is successful reads and learns and grows, do the same. This isn't rocket science. Focus on the people who are successful, not on the average person. If you listen to the average person, you're not going to get what you want in life. You're going to be in the current of everyone else. If almost everyone in life deals with a lot of anxiety or stress at some point in time, build skills beforehand. Learn to manage those things. If it's likely that you're going to experience those. If many people struggle later in life with physical health problems like high blood pressure or heart attacks or cancer, diabetes or obesity, back and neck problems, then start working on your health right now. If most business owners struggle with capital at some point, understand how capital works, how money works and how to make it, how to ask for it, how to grow it. If most business owners fail due to sales and lack of marketing, learn sales and marketing, right? Talk to the people who are really good, and you will hear the same things over and over and over and over. The key is to ask yourself one question fairly often. What do I want in life when I'm 30, when I'm 40, when I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, or even 90 or 100? What do I want? Even simply asking this question will move you in that direction at least a little. Why? Because it begins helping us steer a subconscious course in the direction we want to move. Our subconscious mind will always be asking, oh, well, which direction? I'm going to go back to this picture, this fork. What direction moves us towards our goal? That will be in our subconscious mind, in the back of our heads. Again, start with your purpose, start with your why, start with your passions. Move next to your goals. And then set a plan toward those goals and purposes. Finally, select specific actions and habits right now that will prepare you and contribute to your plan. When you plan ahead, your subconscious mind takes this as a roadmap. You'll be directed in various ways toward the things you focus on if you focus on them. Okay? Learning to drive on the highway, on a large curve in the road. The key when I learned to drive, I had problems staying within the lines when it was a really fast curve, when I'm going 100 kilometers an hour, 60 miles an hour. If I hit a curve, I had a hard time staying within the lines because I was focusing right in front of me. Then somebody told me, it was probably my dad, told me, Mark, focus 100 yards ahead. Focus 100 meters ahead. And when I started looking ahead, I automatically started moving more smoothly within the lines. When you're focused on your present moment constantly and worried about it, you're going to start losing efficiency and not going in the direction you want as much. You're going to start questioning your confidence. But when you've got a long-term goal and you're always working towards that goal, things start to smooth out. I hope that makes sense. Okay? The scariest thing in the world and how to fix it. The scariest thing in the world for most people is that they have never consciously set up this guidance system. This guidance system for making decisions on a consistent basis has five components, okay? The first is core beliefs. What are your core beliefs? What are your core beliefs? Again, I uploaded a program that you should have access to with your values and your life values. Your core beliefs and your life values, understanding these things, and listen, we're going to talk about beliefs next week, but your core beliefs and your life values will have a huge impact on giving you confidence and taking away some of the fear. Third is habitual questions. Habitual questions and statements. What are the questions you ask? What are the statements you make to yourself? Next is emotional states. What emotional states are you consistently in? How do you control your emotional states? Again, this has a huge impact on this guidance system. When you tie your emotional states to your goals and are constantly looking forward to them, that anchors you in a completely different way. References. How do we reference things? What do we think about references, or how do we think about certain things in life? How do we measure where we're at different times? This comes to our plan. When we have these five components, then guess what? This is really good news because you don't have to continue being governed by your past systems. You can develop your own systems. You can begin to set up a new system that works in your favor. And guess what? It all begins with a decision. It all begins with a decision. So here's a question I'm going to ask you right now. What decision are you willing to make right now? What is a promise that you will make to yourself that you keep? And I'm gonna, you know what, I'm gonna talk about something else quickly. A lot of people think, well, that's crazy then, because how can I make all those promises and keep them? This is what I would say. Stop making decisions that you're not able to keep, promises that you're not able to keep. Set that bare minimum standard where you're not willing to accept something less. And stop making a bunch of promises that you're not willing to keep. Start changing how you make decisions. Start focusing on the most important areas of life so you make fewer decisions, but they're more valuable for you. Stop saying yes to everyone. Start saying no to most people and say yes to the most important things. Say no to great things and say yes to the best things. Think about this a little bit. You can probably jump into the next video right now. I'll get it going here right away. Again, this first video is simply a bunch of ideas thrown together. We're going to get more focused in this next video, all right? If you have questions, please feel free to ask me.